It's time to raise the roof as, unfortunately, the Tampa Bay Rays, their quest for a World Series title in this 2020 weird COVID season came to an end just a few days ago. Welcome back to our, I guess, our final postseason episode before the offseason, or I guess if you want to transition one into the other, that's fine. Obviously, we haven't posted in a little bit since Game 4. Maybe that was a jinx on them. I don't know. I don't really think any of us really wanted to talk about what happened because it was rough. I mean, I know that the Dodgers are a really good team, and obviously congrats to the Dodgers for winning their first World Series title since 1988. Definitely well-deserved and just an amazing achievement for them. But Gibby, I know we haven't talked in a couple days, but how did you feel after that final out on Tuesday?
Oh, just terrible. Absolutely just terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard getting there and then just coming in second, the first loser, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was a good run. Very proud of our team. And they're only going to come back stronger next season. So I'd watch out for them.
Yeah, I agree. I will say I cried way too much after that game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not going to lie, it wasn't a good time. And I mean, they had a chance to win Game 6. I know we can talk about that. Oh, Evan's getting on. So we're going to talk to Evan as well. But, Gibby, how did you feel about Game 6? Hey, wait. Quickie for Evan.
What's up?
Yo, we're in the middle of recording, so you came at a perfect time. So, Evan is now on. So, welcome, Evan.
Sorry about the delay.
No, it's fine. Gibby, so let's get your feelings about Game 6. Just gut reaction to what went on in that game, because I know it was very much highs and lows.
Yeah. So we start in the first, and you know we get our we get a home run off of a Rosarena, and we take the lead. And usually we're pretty good when we take the lead first. I don't think we lost when we took the lead, or maybe it's like one game we lost.
Yeah, no, not that many. Not that many.
When we took the lead first. So you feel confident after that. And Blake Snell is just pitching a legendary ball game. The whole game up until sixth. He got to the sixth. And then Kevin Cash, this is probably the controversial decision of the night. Everyone's kind of giving him a lot of crap for it. He decided to take out Blake Snell, who had been pitching pretty good. It's only like 73 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Not that high of a throw count.
Yeah.
And they put in Nick Anderson, and Mookie Betts happened, and Dodgers scored two runs, and then they score another one off a home run. And from there, it's just kind of over.
Yeah. They
shut out the Rays.
Yeah, Evan, I wanted to get your gut reactions about how you felt about the series and then how you felt about Game 6, because I know that Game 6 has been definitely talked about quite a lot.
I mean, we got kind of gifted a game. I don't really want to say that because we did play well in Game 4. It kind of went as expected, I think. I thought after Rosarena hit that home run in Game 6, I thought we were going to force a Game 7. But the Dodgers are a great team. I mean, they are the best team in baseball. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks that we had to have that, like, kind of unreal moment in Game 4 and then lose back-to-back games to lose the series. I mean, we got our respect, I think. We played very tough against them. Other than Game 1, every other game was relatively close. We won two games. You can't get much better than that than other than winning the series. Just making it respectable. People realize how good this team is and how good we are going to be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's offense. I mean, it all comes down to how bad our offense was in the playoffs. And other than Brandon Lau, no one else stepped up in the World Series that hadn't been stepping up before. Like, Meadows was really bad. Yanni played pretty well too, but I mean, Meadows was awful. Willie was awful. Zunino, who had a good postseason, was terrible in the
World Series. He had one hit in the World Series. I was like, oh my God, he's never going to get a hit. And then he finally gets one hit.
And, I mean, it, and back and to go to Game 6, like, everybody blames it on cash, but he does that all the time. He does that all the time. And it usually works out. Like, it definitely, it works out probably 80% of the time, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually when you hand it off to Nick Anderson, it's not going to be something that's going to get you in trouble with the media later.
Exactly.
But, you know, we got all these kind of mainstream people kind of just putting their opinions in. They don't really understand, like, what's going on. But, I mean, it's controversial. I think you should cut them in, but, like, it's not, like, the stupidest thing in the world.
Like, when he does that, like, I'm always like, oh, I'll keep him in. But it usually works out. So I'm like, okay, I trust him. I trust what he's doing. But we didn't lose the game because of that. We lost the game because we scored one run. I mean, you're not going to win. You're not going to beat the Dodgers 1-0.
Yeah.
And we left runners on first and second in the first inning with one out, and then a runner on second in the second inning with one out. So, I mean, there's two possible runs right there. And, I mean, the main issue I have with Snell coming out is not him coming out, is who came in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anderson had given up a run in 7 straight appearances. If you're going to pull Snell and you want a right-handed pitcher, put Thompson in, who has been really good recently. And Slager's wasn't on the roster. Would have been a great option, I think. That's my issue. You don't put Anderson in that situation, who had been struggling. But, yeah, that's what I thought about it.
I 100% agree with you on that. I honestly thought that going to loop was not that bad of an idea because, like, if you're going to go from one lefty to another lefty, like, going from Snell to loop, kind of having similar styles in the way that they pitch, I would have liked that move more. Anderson was not the move in the – he's the move in the regular season. He was a move in the regular season for a good reason because he was one of the best relievers in baseball. In the postseason, completely different guy and was not that good. I agree with you on Thompson. That was a good move. I don't know. Did Castillo pitch in game 5?
Because
I was going to say, putting him in the 6th and then having him go 6-7, and then if you want to finish it off with someone else 8-9, like if you wanted to go Fairbanks 8-9, that would have worked perfectly.
I don't remember. I mean, he still could have pitched, though, because there was a day off. But
that's true, too. Yeah, I would have went with Castillo early, or I would have went with Fairbanks early. Anderson was not the person to go to. I mean, even, like, his fastball wasn't as electric as it was. Like, he was only hit, like, 95, 96.
Yeah.
It was not the same thing. So, I would have preferred Snell to stay in. I thought that Snell could have gone 7, and then that would have helped conserve bullpen arms for game 7 if we needed it. You know, just whatever would have happened with Morton. And, you know, I was kind of just indifferent about it because I was like, oh, Snell's getting taken out. Like, you know, he does that. And, you know, like you said, I trust Cash. I trust with him with his decisions. And I also agree, our offense was terrible. Like without Randy, we'd probably lose in the ALDS.
I think we get swept by the Yankees. Maybe 4. But, yeah, we lose to the Yankees in 4, I would say.
Yeah, so it was huge that that he was as big as he was. And also in the World Series, I mean, you know, Lau only got 3 hits, but all 3 of them were home runs. And he also – so he was tied for, I think, the series lead in home runs. And
I think Rosarin had 4, didn't he?
I thought he had 3 because he had 7 up until the World Series, and he had 3 in the World Series.
Gotcha.
So him and Lau tied for 3, and then I think they both had 6 RBIs.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, like, Lau kind of showed up, kind of. Like, he hit the home runs, but, like, other than that, really didn't do anything. But, I mean, I it's just food for thought now because, I mean, obviously the series is over. And I'm sure we're all bummed about it, but, like, I mean, this team, I did predict them to go to the World Series, and I'm not going to lie, I predicted them to lose in 6 to the Dodgers. Like, I feel really, really bad about that take right now. The Dodgers are just so good. Like,
that's true.
You give them, like, the smallest just window of light. Like you creak the door open a millimeter, and they're going to take advantage of that and make you pay for it. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened in every game that they won. And even the games that they lost. They had that one little millimeter of light and just of daylight, and they just – took advantage of it like it was no one's business.
I mean, I've never seen a team hit so well with 2 outs before. It's unbelievable. And 2 strikes. I was like, good. I mean, we one more strike, we probably could have erased 8 runs or 8 or 9 runs on the entire series. Like, just get one more strike and it ends the inning. And they're just I mean, that's what good teams do, though. They take
advantage. They just have so many good hitters. So many. I mean, like literally, like Bellinger had the one home run, but he didn't really do anything big that series. But then, like, Mookie did stuff well. Justin Turner played really well. Corey Seager played well. Taylor did pretty good. Kike, I think, had a home run in one of the games, or he at least did something. Muncy hit the home run in game I think he hit in game six, right?
Peterson was playing really well in the playoffs too.
Yeah, like there's just so many guys that they have, and it's ridiculous.
It's like the whole lineup right there.
And then Kershaw shows up this postseason. That's the difference for them. Is the difference of when them winning this year is Kershaw showed up in the postseason.
Yeah.
But positive. So from a Maryland perspective of it, Adam Kolarik, World Series champion. It's pretty cool. So Maryland's got a World Series champion. They were going to get one regardless. It's just wasn't the Rays guy. It was the Dodgers guy, but still, it's pretty dope. Andrew Friedman.
Who was a Ray, too.
Yeah, that is true. Former Ray. Andrew Friedman, former Rays GM, gets finally his first title with the Dodgers, which, again, it was a long time coming for him. But if you think about it, like, the Dodgers are very much like the Rays, where they have the money, but all of these guys that they have, like, a Bellinger, Bellinger, they drafted. I think they drafted Peterson. They drafted Seager. They traded for Turner. They traded for Mookie. Like, it's not – they drafted Kershaw. They drafted Buehler. Like, it's not like these guys that they've had are just, like, $300 million players. Like, they've signed them to huge extensions. But in terms of the makeup of that team, it is – homegrown players, it's traded players. It's basically like the Rays with money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they deserve all the credit in the world for it. And their fans, they've been waiting for it for so long. It's like a Cubs situation. Been waiting for it for so long. And I've seen videos of fans crying because their father passed away during the season, during what would have been the season or the year before, and they didn't get to see it. And now they've witnessed it. I feel a little bit better knowing that, and I never hated the Dodgers at all. I have no hard feelings towards them.
Me neither. I mean, they're
exactly. Me neither.
They're a really, really good team. I did want to say, so I posted in the Dodgers subreddit. I just said, congrats, you guys won. You played really well. You deserved all the credit for it. And funny enough, there was a guy who messaged me back because I said on the I don't know if it was the baseball subreddit or the MLB subreddit, but there was this thing for like the trade deadline, fans could get traded from one team subreddit to another. So I got traded to the Dodgers subreddit, and this guy randomly on the Dodgers subreddit was like, "Oh, I'm going to send you a shirt." And I'm like, "Yo, sick. I love free shirts. I'll obviously take it." I never got it. And then this other person on the Dodgers subreddit, then a really, really nice guy, he said that he had a Mookie Betts player shirt. Like, I don't know if it was like a jersey or like whatever it was, but he had it in my size, and he was like, "Do you want this?" And I'm like, yes, because I love Mookie Betts, and now I'm getting a Mookie Betts Dodgers shirt.
Hey. So, like,
that's pretty cool.
Hey, maybe it's like transferable power of World Series. You were a Phillies fan last time Rays were in World Series, and now you're a Rays fan, and now you're going from a Rays fan, and now you're going to be a Dodgers fan. Just watch. It's going to happen in like a year.
Damn it. Okay. Well, then this is the last podcast I'm going to do as a Rays fan. Nah, I was kidding. Nah, come on, man. Don't do that to me. I want to enjoy this. I'm trying to enjoy being a Rays fan as long as possible. Yeah, the Rays are the dude. Rays up, ride or die. That's how I feel right now. It's like, it's honestly that mentality where it's like this community that we have is just so close-knit. And it's just awesome to kind of see everyone come together. And it's awesome to, like, I mean, like, I keep talking about the subreddit, but, like, just watching, like all of these people just come together and bond over this team that is playing a game that we all played as kids, and they're all enjoying it and having a great time and creating all of these things as a result of it is just really, really awesome to see. But I mean, all good things have to come to an end, unfortunately. I know it's not what we wanted, but it's what the situation gave us. But I'm sure that just thinking about this season overall, how do you guys feel about how this season went? Like, did you think they were going to end up in the World Series?
I'm definitely, you definitely got to take what you can get as a Rays fan. I mean, this is probably one of our greatest seasons ever. Like,
this is probably the greatest season ever.
Probably the greatest season ever.
And we've gotten in a season.
I thought from the beginning it was the best roster that they had put together, and I'm very proud of how far they went. Even though I just think in the end the Dodgers were just too much hitting talent up and down the lineup, and that's really where we'd like to see like an improvement maybe next season if we can get back to that. But like very 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 happy with how the season ended up.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, didn't lose a game at Fenway, lost one game in New York, I think.
Went 8-2 against the Yankees and beat them in the postseason. And I'll take that any day.
Lost one game in the Bronx, beat the Yankees in the playoffs, everybody was a Rays fan in the ALCS, which was really cool. Beat the team that everybody hates, the Astros in the ALCS. We won the pennant, and I mean, we gave the Dodgers our best shot. You can't ask for much more than that. And definitely, there are some moral victories of the season, definitely. I would agree. I think it's the best Rays team of all time. But, I mean, it's not the end. Like, this team, only 6 free agents, and none of them are, like, terribly important players other than Morton and Zunino, who's a good catcher. So, like, I'd like to get him.
He's a good defensive catcher. Yeah.
And, I mean, I think we'll re-sign Morton as long as he wants to play. And
I hope we do.
Get Dono back.
Sorry. What?
He said if...
I said hashtag get Darno back.
But. Oh, yeah. No, I want Darno back. If we had a catcher. But, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, sorry. Evan, you kind of cut out a little bit there. But, no, we were talking about how we want Travis Darno back.
Oh, give him anything. Anything you want.
We want Darno. Give him I do have to say, like, I mean, I can get sometimes a little bit crazy with, like, the Brandon Lau love, but seeing him hit 2 home runs in a World Series game and then, like, seeing him get, like, interviewed on ESPN afterwards was, like, the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like for me, I was so just, like, internally happy being like, oh, my God, this is that guy that I've been following for so long, and he finally gets that opportunity in the national spotlight, and it just brought, like, a huge smile on my face. And watching Game 4, was like the biggest just what the hell just happened moment of my life, I think. Evan, we didn't talk to you for that game, but how did you feel about what transpired?
It's one of those weird, like, I mean, it's obviously a weird story because no one knows who the hell Brett Phillips is.
Except for us.
And it was one of those things where I saw Topkin tweeted before the game started. He tweeted that Dan Johnson was throwing out the first pitch. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. Maybe some nobody will do something this game like Dan Johnson did in game 162. And, I mean, wouldn't you know, he does practically the same thing. Down to their last out, down to their last strike. He was going to tie the game.
Definitely tying the game.
No one's catching Kevin on a soft single up the middle. No one throws him out. So I was like, that's Dan Johnson right there. Then I absolutely lost my mind when I realized that the catcher didn't have the ball and a Rose Miranda came around to score. I was probably the best sports moment I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was like in that 9th inning, I was like, Kiermaier gets the hit, and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. You know, like, I'm doing my normal thing, just, like, trying to be chill, listening to music on my laptop, all that stuff, because I just, like, I try to keep, like you know, very superstitious. And then Rosarena gets the walk, and I'm like, oh, you know. And I said this. I was like, they're probably going to walk a Rosarena, but, like, I thought it was going to be an intentional walk because they just didn't want to face him. And, like, of course this is going to come down to Brett Phillips. Like, you know, why not? Like, of course it would be Brett Phillips who would come to. And then he gets a hit, and I'm like, wait, well, hold up. What the hell is going on here? And I mistakenly said that Mookie was the one who overran the ball when it was Chris Taylor who overran the ball. But regardless, just that play just threw me for such a cycle of, like, what am I watching? I don't know what the hell just happened. How did he miss that? It was for those that watched the Maryland-Minnesota game, how did the Minnesota kicker miss the PAT? That was embarrassing. It was like the same moment of just like, no, that didn't just happen. Like, are you kidding me?
that, yeah, I mean, I had no words. I was like, dude, I don't know. I mean, not even that play. Like, obviously, that ending was crazy, but the whole game was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Back and forth, high scoring affair. It was a lot like Game 5 in the 2017 World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers, where it was just back and forth, very high scoring, and, like, I mean, you didn't know who, like, it was literally going to come down to the last batter, and it eventually did, and
I thought that there was a possibility that I was like, oh, crap, we might win this series after that game.
Like, yeah, I did too.
I had that feeling. I was like, no.
Yeah, I had
like
a lot of hope. Had a lot of hope.
And then all the hope died.
I think the whole series changed when Margot got caught stealing home.
Yeah.
If he scores that, I think, first of all, it's a tie game. Second of all, I mean, stealing home is one of the most electric things in baseball. Like,
he almost did it.
He
avoided the tag just a little bit more, like had he like swoop tagged him, there, like, the Rays might have won the series then.
I think that changed the whole series.
Because
I don't give Margot any grief for going for that. TBH.
Yeah, and he did that on his own, as we found out after. He was the one who ended up doing that on his own. And honestly, like, I don't know if it was Barnes or Smith who was the catcher, but he immediately noticed. But still, like, I think the thing with that was that, like, the Rays hadn't found a way to manufacture runs in that inning.
Exactly.
And they had Kershaw on the ropes. Like, this was going to be the game that Kershaw was going to fail, and then the Rays were going to take that lead. And everything just kind of, like you said, as soon as he got tagged out there, the game changed.
I agree with what he did. I mean, he's trying to just get a run, get kind of a, not a free run, but because we hadn't been able to do anything with runners on base. And I think Willie was up at the plate and
terrible in the World Series.
He couldn't hit anything. So Margot's like, dude, I think you kind of got to force it yourself. And he almost did. I mean, he could have maybe, like, I don't know why they didn't challenge it, but.
No, they did.
They did?
Yeah, and he was out. But, like, it wasn't like he was, like, out by a lot. He was out by, like, 6 inches.
Yeah.
My thing is that if he does it, like, I wonder if he gets into a pickle situation where, like, he was going, like, close to halfway down the line. But if he gets into a situation where he goes too far, like, do you think that in a pickle situation he scores? Like he causes a bad throw and he scores? Or do you think that in that situation, stealing home was just the better idea straight up?
I mean, pickles rarely ever work out. So I would say definitely just stealing home out on point is probably the better option.
Yeah. I don't know. Gibby, how do you feel about that?
Which question?
Stealing home or getting into a pickle?
You definitely just steal home. Getting into a pickle, you're not doing anything there, especially against the Dodgers. I mean, you already got two errors out of them the game before. I don't think you're going to get much more luck there. So I don't think the pickle would be a good idea. Stealing home was really close.
That would have been crazy. If he would have stole home, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's all just a bunch of what-ifs now.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so I think that's enough World Series talk for now. Let's talk quickly about some free agent stuff, and then we'll kind of wrap things up and talk about what our plan is for the offseason now. What's up?
I might have to go.
You might have to go? Oh, what's up?
I have to go pick up a friend.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Gibby's going to go. So, Gibby, quickly, how excited are you for the offseason? How excited are you? How's anticipation going for 2021?
I am psyched for 2021. I am excited to see who gets brought onto our team.
Wander, baby.
Wander, yeah, watch 2021.
Yeah, I Wander watch 2021. Love it. Yeah, I'm excited. That's about it.
All right. Well, go pick up your friend, and we will talk to you in a future episode.
See y'all later.
All right. See ya. All right. So, Evan, let's talk a little bit about some free agents, and then we'll kind of get into what we want to do. What shirt are you wearing, by the way? Can we?
Do you know Friday Beers?
No.
It's like a Instagram account where they post like 7 or 8 pictures a week on their just account, and it's like their thing. Not last week, but 2 weeks ago, they had this picture of a Rosarena after he hit the two-run home run in Game 7 against the Astros as one of the options. So I was like, okay, I got to – and then they sell them on shirts. So I was like, okay, I got to get the shirt.
That's a pretty good shirt. I do have to agree. Yeah. So Evan's wearing a pretty rad shirt. But I do want to – so obviously free agency has started. The Rays have extended some qualifying offers and let some guys go to free agency, let some guys go on the waiver wire. So right now, catching situation is really, really weird. Starting off because Michael Perez got claimed off waivers by the Pirates. So we appreciate everything that Michael Perez has done for the Rays, but he's now gone. And right now, Mike Zunino is a free agent, and Kevon Smith is currently in talks to, renegotiate a contract. But right now, what is his name? Ronaldo Hernandez is our only catcher on the depth chart. So how are you feeling about that?
I mean, I think – I always was a big Perez fan. It kind of sucks that he left, and I feel like we didn't do much to retain him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess just go get Zunino. I don't really know what other catchers are available, but Zunino's, like, familiar with the pitchers. They have good chemistry already. He's not that great of a bat, but, I mean, catchers in general aren't that good with the bat. So he's really – I mean – I'll take his defense any day.
Mm.
So I think go get him. And then I don't know who our AAA catcher is or if we have any prospects that are catchers. But, yeah, probably go try and get Kevon and Mike, both of them. Why not? Yeah.
I'm really interested because I haven't seen enough of Hernandez yet, but I think that he could be really good. Again, he's been in the minors most of the time now. So he will get some playing time, and we'll kind of see how he is. I'm hoping that he can be kind of like that Travis d'Arnaud archetype, where he's a good hitter. He can hit for average, and he can hit for some power, and he can also be a good good defensive catcher on the other side of it. Looking at the pitching side, so trying to think of the guys. So I know we mentioned Charlie Morton, Chaz Rowe, and Andrew Kittredge are the other guys that were I think that cleared, but they're trying to negotiate they're able to negotiate a contract with them before they, like, really, really go to free agency. Yeah. But I think the biggest one is Charlie Morton, who is now a free agent. I think he's got to be, like, 36, 37 right now, right? He's
37, yeah.
Yeah, so he's getting up there in years, but didn't have the best year this year, but bounced back in the playoffs except for game, 3 of the World Series. Didn't have his best outing, but was still a valuable arm for the Rays. Would you, like – if they were to re-sign him, well, A, do you want them to re-sign him? And B, how long do you think that is? And do you think he would be willing to take up less money to stay on the team?
So I just checked. He is 36. He turns 37 on the 12th of this month. So okay. Happy early.
Yeah.
But, so I think it's up to him rather than, like, the team to decide what he does because, well, I mean, obviously, but, like, in the end, because he's – thinking about retiring, so that is obviously a huge gut punch for the Rays if he does, but I mean, you can't complain. He's had a great career. He's getting old, so but if he doesn't retire, then he has said that he does want to retire as a Ray, so I think that he will do anything to re-sign. I would say, I mean, given that it's a full season next year, and I would say probably 7-8 million, I would probably say 50% of what he was getting before, just because he didn't have that good of a year this year, and he's two years older than he was at the time of his last contract. So that's just maybe a little more, maybe 9 million for 1 year. I'm assuming it's going to be a $1 million contract, but yeah.
So are you going with a 1 year? So, like, do you think that they would sign that they would want to sign him for more than a 1 year contract, or do you think that 1 year is kind of like the
second year having an option to pick up the contract?
Okay.
That's probably a safer option, like two years. And then the second year has an option to pick up the contract just in case he does retire after next year.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
I would like him back 2 years. Cause I think he wants to stay with the team. I think that 7 to 10 mil is kind of like a perfect range for that. Definitely not 15 because he's not worth 15 a year anymore. But if they can get him 7 to 10 and he's willing to go to lose some money, I guess, if you know, in annual value. but stay with the team since he has expressed interest and want to stay in the area, then I'm all for that. So however they decide to do that is I will 100% support it.
Me too.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think. So I think that's pretty much like it for what we want to do in terms of like everything this episode. But quickly, so for the off season, we're not going to do episodes obviously as often because, you know, the season's over now, so there's not as many there's not going to be series to preview and recap and all of that stuff. So we're going to try to do at least once a week, hopefully once a week, maybe twice. We'll see how we do it, probably more towards once a week. We're going to try to bring on more guests in the off season. So just faces around the Rays baseball community that you know, we're going to try to bring them on. We're going to try to talk to them and just kind of hear their story, and hopefully we'll get a lot of good things going on with that. But so we're really excited about where we are right now, but obviously in the off season, it's going to be really, really weird. So not with us, with less baseball news on it, it gives us more of an opportunity to really, dive deeper into the Rays community and find out kind of like the faces of the Rays community. So we're going to try to do things like that. We'll see what happens. But with that being said, thanks everyone for listening to this last postseason episode of Raise the Roof for now. Again, not the way we wanted to go out, but it is what it is. So again, and thanks everyone for tuning in and supporting us throughout all this. And we hope that you continue to support the podcast, listen to the podcast in the off season. But for me and Evan and from Gibby, stay safe, stay healthy, wear a mask. We'll talk to you guys pretty soon and raise up.
Hey, forever. No, win or lose, forever raise up.